The JMU journalism team bring you the Liverpool Life podcast.
Hello and welcome to this week's Liverpool Life podcast. I'm Aaron Lowell and I have the roundup of this week's news, sport and what's going on across the city. On this week's programme, there's a strong reaction in Liverpool to claims that FIFA is planning to ban England and Scotland players from wearing poppies for the World Cup qualifiers next week.
In fact, I think it should be mandatory. Thinking of the fallen that have died to give us what we've got today.
Commuters are being warned they could face several months of disruption when the rail line closes in January.
There's always room on the train, but there's not always room on the road for cars, and especially since the railway will be shut for a few months. There'll be 10 times more cars on the road.
And the Christmas post could be hit by a series of walkouts by the post office workers.
We've just lost hundreds of jobs in this city through poor management by the post office, and the opportunity today is to highlight the campaign to the public.
That's all to come on this week's Liverpool Life podcast. Now, there's a strong reaction in Liverpool to claims that FIFA is planning to ban England and Scotland players from wearing the poppies for the World Cup qualifiers next week. The Football Association say they're in talks with the world's footballing governing body, which has rules against symbols with political and religious links. Poppy sellers from the British Royal Legion have been out in the city this week. Those who were buying the poppies spoke to us and were not very happy about the prospect of a ban.
It's a disgrace if they can't, and if I was England, I'd turn around and say if they couldn't wear them, they don't play. It's easy as that. And if our government's got anything about them, they'll do something.
There's absolutely no question they should be allowed to wear poppies. In fact, I think it should be mandatory, because we're thinking of the fallen that have died to give us what we've got today.
Myself personally, I think you should. Because don't forget, you see, even in the British Army during the First World War, Second World War, there was loads of Scottish. So where's the problem? They fought with the English.
Commuters are being warned they could face several months of disruption when the Wirral line closes in January. Trains will stop running under the Mersey in the new year. Lucy Fegan reports.
Mersey Travel say they are working to ensure the city stays running come January when the Wirral line closes. They will be working with companies such as Stagecoach and Arriva to provide alternative transport for the 7 months, encouraging commuters to not use their cars. The council representative for Mersey Travel, Liam Robertson, spoke about the issue.
Yes, it will mean disruption for people. It will mean longer journeys, and we fully acknowledge that. And we're really keen to make sure not only do people understand the disruption it's going to cause, but have got really good opportunity now to plan and think about how their journeys will be longer.
But many are worried that there will be extra congestion, more disruption, and whether the money being spent on this project is even worth it. Even the most hardcore commuters have mixed reviews of the Mersey Travel services.
I get 4 trains a day, most of the time. It's all right. I got on a bus for the first time in 20 years last week. That was awful.
Generally, I've had a good experience. There's only been once that it's been really bad, but the station staff gave me really good advice. And yeah, I found it okay. The alternatives, it's better than London, put it that way.
I think it's very good. It's on time always. It's very prompt. Very good.
The cost of travelling from Wirral to Liverpool by car includes not only fuel costs but parking and the Mersey Tunnel toll. The toll charge for an average vehicle is £1.70 each way when paid by cash and £1.20 when using the fast tag system. Trainee teacher Christy Bigger, who commutes from Wirral to Liverpool every day, isn't looking forward to having to use her car or alternative public transport. She reflected on the problems she'll face in January.
So, especially in the morning, about 8:30, there's always room on the train, but there's not always room on the road for cars, and especially since the railway will be shut for a few months, there'll be 10 times more cars on the road, so it'll be maybe more dangerous as well.
The 7 months of disruption will mean extra charges in not only the running of a car, but car parks and the Mersey Tunnel toll. These are costs that people like Christy can't afford to make.
The latest Liverpool Life is out now. The team has pulled together another great package and it's ready to view.
News,
sport, features, reviews, entertainment. Pick up a free copy from our friendly reception staff at the Redmond's building on Brownlow Hill. But if you can't get here, don't worry. You can read it online anytime on your laptop, desktop, tablet or smartphone. And it's not only free, but like all our multimedia content, it's completely ad-free. That's right, there are no pop-ups, ad banners, pre-roll ads, sign-ups, free trials, nothing. Just great content at your fingertips anytime you want it. All you need to do is type in your browser jmu-journalism.org.uk. Then click the link in the right-hand column of the homepage, read all about it, and it'll take you right there to the latest edition. If it's happening in Liverpool, it's in Liverpool Live. Out now!
The Christmas post service is under serious threat due to a nationwide strike by post office workers yesterday. The walkout was over cuts made by the post office to work pensions. Workers have threatened to stage further strike in the run-up to Christmas to try and get their voices heard. Neil Barry, a CWU area representative, was one of the members that were involved.
Hopefully this day of strike action will get the government and the post office to sit round the negotiating table with us and get a strategy to move this company forward for the future. The last thing we want to do is strike coming up to Christmas, losing members' money and inconveniencing the public. That is the very last alternative we have. So we call on the post office to sit down with us and talk and provide a way forward for the post office.
The strike is expected to affect around 3,500 workers in the Crown Post Office, plus 1,000 more involved nationwide. Some branch managers and postal workers joined in to help the cause. We spoke to the branch secretary of the CWU, Matt Wilson.
It probably won't achieve anything on its own today, but with a national strike in other parts of the country, it's certainly highlighting a campaign to many the public don't know about, which is the closure of a pension scheme which is in surplus, which is a strange thing in itself today. And for Liverpool, the effect is we lose another Crown office with 10 people out of work. And it's, you know, we've just lost hundreds of jobs in this city through poor management by the post office. And the opportunity today is to highlight the campaign to the public.
Now, people gathered in Liverpool city centre to take part in a hot coal challenge to raise money for our charity. The Liverpool-based charity is raising money for the Royal Liverpool Hospital, hoping to raise an amazing £10 million to improve the hospital environment. Ruth Waters, the event organiser, explained to us why it's important for everyone to get behind the campaign.
Well, as sad as it is to say, everyone knows someone who's been in the Royal, either they've been in the Royal themselves, they've either got a really happy or unfortunately a sad story to tell, and it involves everyone. This is a real community charity. This isn't something, you know, that's dispersed apart, like internationally. This is something that stays, like the money that's raised stays within the heart of Liverpool. And I know that obviously the how people are, how Scousers are in general, they're very much about helping one another, and that really shows, and it's really shown tonight.
This is the Liverpool Life podcast. For all the latest news, sport and features anytime, click on to the JMU Journalism multimedia website, jmu-journalism.org.uk. Bookmarkers and come back often.
Now, more than a quarter of 16 to 24-year-olds will have a meat-free diet in the next decade, a report has revealed. Marking World Vegan Day, the announcement said that 28% of young adults will have adopted a plant-based diet by the year 2025. Alex Irvin has been a vegetarian for 30 years, but is now transitioning into veganism. She said it's a way to save all species, not just animals.
I think historically there has been this sense that it's about animals and that it's, and if you're not really that bothered and if you love your steak, then you go, oh, well, you know, they have a nice life, they live in a field and then they get slaughtered. And actually going vegan is about all species because if you care about humans and if you care about starving babies in the third world and across the world and with a rising population which is quite out of control, then the only way for it to be sustainable and to feed everyone is to stop breeding animals on land, which then has to have other land for crops and feed them.
the Leaders in Healthcare conference got underway, with Liverpool being this year's host. However, in the week leading up to the conference, the NHS has been in the limelight for all the wrong reasons. And Kieran Simpson, who has been following the story, joins me now. So Kieran, what's been happening?
Well, the conference at the BT Communication Centre at the King's Dock, with speakers like NHS's England's National Medical Director, Sir Bruce Keogh, appearing alongside a lot of other respected medical professionals. However, it has been overshadowed by a report that the General Medical Council released, which underlined a severe issue with doctors having low morale, as well as junior doctors feeling ostracised by the media's portrayal of them, especially during the recent contract talks.
And what are the ramifications of this?
Well, the GMC has warned that if these problems are allowed to persist, then they can place patients at an unacceptable level of unnecessary risk.
Oh, I see. Now, I know that Jeremy Hunt has been making waves again. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, Jeremy Hunt was forced into admitting that the $10 billion that the Prime Minister told the Commons a month ago that would be funding the NHS over the next 5 years, he was forced to say that that figure is actually wildly inaccurate. Now, it's down to the fact that much of the money is being taken from other areas of funding for the NHS and just redistributed at the top. The actual figure is closer to $4 billion, which is almost half of the amount that Simon Stevens, who's the chief executive of NHS England, recommended to the government.
Kieran, thanks for joining. You can follow Liverpool Life online. And we also have a free print version available, which can be found in the Redmond's building located on Brownlow Hill. And it has some very interesting stories in there, like how Chris became influential, which is about how a former LGMU student, Chris Bradley, became a PR specialist, and also covers the new rules to beat gender inequality in sport. And that can all be found in the print version of Liverpool Life. The Howloween fancy dress puppy parade has been back in Liverpool for the third year running. Hundreds of dressed to impress puppies took to the streets of Liverpool this Halloween. For the biggest Halloween puppy parade, the Merseyside Dogs Home and Pug Muffin Rescue has run so far. Each year, over 3,000 lost dogs are found in Merseyside, many simply lost from a good home. This year, Brewdog and Pug Pride Liverpool teamed up with the Dogs Home to raise donations and encouraged owners to consider a rescue dog and create a fun day for the attending puppies and their owners. We caught up with the organiser and fundraiser, Emma Logan.
It's been amazing today. I mean, they did it last year and it was big. We had a few hundred people last year, but this is even bigger. There's probably, you know, 700 dogs here, which is fantastic. It's been fantastic. It's been really good to go around and chat to people as well. I think it's reaching a new audience to let them know about our work. There's just so many rescue dogs that are needing homes and lots of people who are, you know, wanting to get a dog. And it's nice to be able to maybe influence that and get a few more people to rescue rather than buy. Because we do have young dogs in, we have all types of dogs in, and we just want to encourage people to go and look at their shelters first before they go to their breeder. People are dropping off bedding today, which is fantastic, because, you know, we don't have enough money to go out and buy bedding, and lots of people have leftover towels, for example, that they've been dropping off behind the bar today, which is amazing, and it just means we're all going to be well stocked for Christmas. My job's basically to raise the money and also to raise the awareness to get more people into the dogs' home.
Now, the Liverpool Cavern Club is known for giving Merseyside artists that first crucial step into the musical world. Next year, the world-famous club will celebrate 60 years' worth of music in Liverpool. Savannah Wild reports.
From the Merseyside era to present day, the Cavern has welcomed many famous musicians through its doors, giving it a world-renowned reputation as a centre of music in Liverpool. Scott Beckett, a young artist and a Cavern Club staff member, said what the Cavern Club were planning to do to celebrate the important birthday.
We'll have a celebration all month and probably all next year. We're expecting it to be one of our busiest years. We've got a special show on the 15th and 16th, like a weekend, with the 60s band, The Overtures, one of the most famous 60s bands in Britain, and they're doing a tour next year and stuff, so there'll be all celebrations ongoing, mostly through January, but we're going to just stretch it and make the most of it and, you know, celebrate the 60 years we've had.
With celebrations hoping to bring in more customers, the Cavern Club is still proving that after 60 years of culture and music, it is still going strong.
A Toxteth Community Food Centre has won an energy competition for a solar panel roof. 1 year on from it being burnt down, Squash Nutrition looked like they were in second place when voting closed in October. But Marks and Spencers, who were behind the Energy Fund competition, have announced them as the winner. The organisation promotes healthy eating and social inclusion within the L8 community. They're hoping the new centre will be open around Christmas time.
This is the Liverpool Life podcast. For the latest updates anytime, follow us on Twitter at JMU Journalism.
And if you follow us on Tuesdays, you can see a live news feed with all the breaking news we've been covering from our news studio. Liverpool taxi drivers are backing calls for a ban of the Sun newspaper in Liverpool. A number of cabbies are displaying stickers to support the ban. The paper has struggled to sell across the city ever since the Hillsborough disaster in 1989. In the last couple of months, the councils in both Liverpool and the Wirral have passed motions urging local news agents not to sell the paper. Since the Sun's notorious coverage following the Hillsborough disaster, sales of the paper on Merseyside have fallen, and many have been unimpressed with the paper's apology, with it being a little too late. Speaking to taxi drivers, we found that tempers still run high on the topic 27 years on.
Keep the Sun out of Liverpool because of what they've written about the Liverpool people.
Definitely, 100%. Should be banned all over the country. I was at Hillsborough and it was an absolute disgrace.
I think it should be a blanket ban. I think it shouldn't be sold. But to be honest, Liverpool, for just what's gone on in the past with regarding the Sun and Hillsborough and things like that, basically. I think if they had any thoughts on themselves, out of common decency, I think they just stop supplying Liverpool themselves, like, basically.
It should not be sold anyway, because these slaters, you know what I mean, and it was just all lies. Even when I got a news agent, you know what I mean, do you want to sell by ours, because people throw it in the bin.
The campaign Write a Will Week aims to raise awareness about the importance of having a will in place. Two-thirds of parents with children under the age of 18 haven't written a will. Research by the professional advice website unbiased.co.uk has revealed. In Liverpool alone, 68% of the people are without one. Anita Ellis, the head of the professional legal studies at Liverpool John Moores University, has urged people to go out and have one written.
Please go out and make one. It's not that costly. The solicitor will go through it all with you. It should give you peace of mind for the future. It's something then you don't need to worry about.
Now, the Whitechapel Centre is the leading homeless and housing charity in Liverpool and has hosted its first fundraising event since being given the freedom of Liverpool. Barclaycard promised to match the money raised from the event as a sellout crowd watched men and women of all ages and from all backgrounds to fight to raise money for the homeless. For Craig Maddings, he knew what the Whitechapel Centre does for the homeless.
2005, I was homeless myself. Some family problems, gambling problems. So I changed my life around. I've got two of the most best kids ever. Got a house, I've got jobs. I've got a new family with the coaches and with the lads and girls at Fox.
And now, sport with Rebecca Cleverly.
Sports governing bodies say more women must be giving leading jobs in all sports to avoid cutbacks in funding. Sports England say a new governing code means that any board must have at least 30% of gender diversity. The threat comes after Everton Ladies promoted women's football by offering free tickets to their most recent match. Tickets were given out in order to promote more fans to give women's football a watch and to try and advertise it more. Everton Ladies missed the chance to be promoted after losing 3-2 to Bristol over the weekend. That's all for sports this week. Join us next week for more.
And that was Rebecca Cleverly with sport. Now, this Saturday is the 5th of November and at 6:30 p.m, Bonfire Night revelers aren't going to want to miss the fireworks celebration taking place on the River Mersey this weekend. Both Liverpool and Wirral councils have come together to stage the River of Light, which promises to be an unforgettable night of fireworks celebrations, with there also being a spectacular twilight pyrotechnics display by the Twister Aerobatics Plane Team, which is due to start at 4:40 p.m. and will last for 10 minutes. And also this weekend, a show created and produced by Queen's Roger Taylor, the Queen Extravaganza, returns to the UK to play a special tour celebrating the 40th anniversary of Queen's iconic album, A Night at the Opera, long viewed as one of the greatest rock albums of all time. You can now book tickets for the Empire Theatre. That's it for this week's Liverpool Life podcast. A special thanks goes to the news editor, Lucy Fegan, and everyone at the Liverpool Life team. I'm Aaron Lowell. Lucy Fegan will be joining you for next week's podcast. Thanks for listening and goodbye.
That was the Liverpool Live podcast, brought to you by the JMU Journalism broadcast team at Liverpool John Moores University. More next week.